What might we pray that you would help us read your word with a good understanding? We pray that you would help us to appreciate the many wonderful words of encouragement we can receive from you. We pray that you would help us to understand as you bless us, Jesus. Okay, we're going to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I think twice as many people will come to read the book of Psalms, half as many people will read Deuteronomy, which is all right. But I just want to encourage you to read, to understand, because there is so much to learn. Deuteronomy is really foundational. This book is really the cornerstone of a lot of things. We understand this. Those who understand the significance of Deuteronomy. So if you're looking at Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus, all the laws, the things happened there, the significance, the meaning of it all would actually be encapsulated in Deuteronomy. So you want to appreciate the value and the significance of Deuteronomy. Okay? Now, the challenge, of course, is to actually understand it and to apply it and to look at it. But this is important. If you understand Deuteronomy, if Israel had paid attention to Deuteronomy, Jeremiah would not need to write 50 chapters. Because a lot of the things that were there mentioned is actually here. In terms of rebuke and reprimand and rebuff and everything else, if they would pay attention to Deuteronomy, a lot of these problems would have been actually resolved. Okay? So let's try and see whether we can understand what it is. Okay? Now obviously it's best for Israel. Listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe. Right? So this is a part of it. Now, it's called statutes and statutes and judgments. Now the word statutes and judgment and law and the word of God, the scriptures, very often they are used fairly interchangeably. Right? So this is something that we need to appreciate. How do we understand this? Okay? The actual law is actually 10. The 10 commandments, as we know. In Exodus 20, that's it. But the law has got so many, many different challenges, ramifications, problems that arose from the study of the law and in life. And then came the idea of the statutes and the okay, so this is something that we need to consider. It's coming through. Thanks, Marie. Appreciate that. Okay. So when we take a look at the statutes and the judgments, it's really more of an explanation of the law. Simply was called the Decalogue, 10 words, literally means. The Decalogue is another way of calling the 10 commandments, and this is just simply called the Decalogue. Right? The statutes and judgments is actually an expansion of those laws which the Lord gave. Well, that's what we are looking at. Okay? So now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe. Well, here we go. So Moses will ask the people, their part is to listen as he teaches them. Okay? Their part is to observe, because if they don't observe the things carefully and they act accordingly, then it's useless. The laws of God, the judgments of God, the statutes of God, they were really meant to be understood, listened to, and then applied. Because if they're not applied, they're useless. Unfortunately. And this is something that is really, really challenging. make effort, something that you need to look at. Most of the time, when you look at it, you look at these statistics, but until you can read and understand. The worst are the things that a bank send you. And then you've got three or four pages of very, very political, what you're talking about, according to this particular thing from the US, they sit down, you know, and then we would explain no idea what they're talking about. At least, it's just a lot of stuff which involves certain things. You've got something, investments with America, you have to declare, not declare, and this and that. Like, lots of stuff. You're talking many people, what you're talking about half the time. So when you read the statutes and the judgment of the Lord, I really enjoy reading this. I read the other ones and say, oh, man, maybe this I don't, because my eyes will fall asleep soon. But this is the difference. It is to do with life. And then it is just to do with the bank and all the other things that they have. Okay? Well, the consequences are important. What we study, what we understand, how we apply has to do with our life. If they were to be given the land and they don't know how to live in that land, it will be wasted. It really, really would be, really, really challenging. See, in Singapore, we sit on the right side, we drive on the left side. In America, you drive on the left side and the car road on the right side. Myanmar is you drive on the left and the road is still on the left. How does that work? And that, it can be very, very, very confusing. Because now there are as many cars right and left side. In Singapore, if you have left hand drive, there was a big sign, left hand drive. Because everybody has to go right. In Myanmar, it's either way, nobody has any sign. So when you go, you expect from the other side, actually this side. So it can be really, really confusing. So you've got to understand the laws and the judgments and how to apply them so that you may live. Otherwise, you're going to be, there's nothing but plenty of accidents, which actually happen when they introduce this idea left and left. So now, slowly things are a little bit better. Because more and more cars are on the right, because they are mostly imported from Singapore. They say, hey, I found this one used to be an NTUC taxi. So after a number of years, they sell them all over to Myanmar, and that's it. And then it looks like it is. But they didn't even have time to go and take away an NTUC taxi, they just tried it. And we're wondering, how come NTUC taxis are here? Not there now. They just imported the car. Well, there are lots of things to do with that. Okay. So, long way tactics. Last time, Burmese number plate. You have no idea what it is. You say, for them, it's 496. I cannot read Burmese. Oh, now we are slowly introducing it. You must have it. So, all taxis must have number plate so that you can report them if they do that thing. Because slowly, there are other people also have this thing. Well, that's how it works. So the statutes and judgments are things which didn't begin with the law, but they were needed to explain how to live. Right? So the Ten Commandments by itself, how do I apply the Ten Commandments into the country of Canaan? You don't know. Okay, so the statutes and judgments came in. So they were there to explain the idea of the law. And that is important for us. To consider. Okay? That you may live, go in, and possess the land. Okay? Now, this is important. In other words, it really has to be good look with life. So, when you read the scriptures and we don't apply to life, what's the point of reading? But it must be, I want to read because it has to do with life. How do I apply this stuff in my own life? This is absolutely important. Okay? Now, right after the first verse, the second verse is important. You shall not err to the word. Now, again here, you're going to be really very, very careful. Okay? You shall not err. Now, what it really means is you're not going to add things which will end up, this is what the Jews did, the Pharisees did. They added so many laws until you can't even see what was the original law. Right? Now that's what we mean by the addition. Not that you can't explain. Not that you cannot illustrate. Not that you cannot, you know, put it in such a way that it helps people to understand. That's the idea. So please do not think, so some people get this in a wooden, literal way, do not add. And that's it. So every time they try to explain, you're adding. No, they're not explaining. As long as the meaning of the text is not in any way corrupted, is not in any way untrue to what was the original intention. That's the idea of not adding. So I'm not adding it to my favor. I'm not subtracting it also to my favor. But that's how it is with the people. And so the Lord had to rebuke the people there for adding on their traditions to the point where the law of God is set aside. Now that is the idea of do not add. Okay? So if you want to try to illustrate something, explain something, by all means, but this is not addition. If you are adding things extra which are not necessary, well then that would be, that's where we involve and we do not act. Okay? You know that we take that you may keep the commandments of the Lord which God commanded you. Okay, so this is what it is. It's something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. Right? So this is something that we want to consider, because there are some people that says you do not add, do not subtract. Take for example, the Sabbath law. Now the Seventh-day Adventist Church actually teaches, this is the law. You know how they teach it to children. So one day I had a neighbor, a little boy, and he came to ask me a question. He looks like a very innocent, he wasn't. He said, why do you worship on a Sunday? The Lord said in His Word, right? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then He said, do not add. Now, He looks straight, right? He looks His right. And He's just 8 years old. You see, you teach a child things like that, they cannot depart from it forever. And this is the problem. You see, so the idea of do not err must be understood for what the Lord meant. Okay? So here is do not err in the sense of you are going to change things. Now, later on you will read in the Gospel of Mark, in Matthew and Luke, where the Lord said that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. On a Sabbath day, don't do this, don't do that. And they said to the Lord Jesus, why do you break the law? No, I did not break the law. You've not understood. You see, so the word do not add can be dangerously understood if you're not careful. Right? It becomes a problem. Now, there is a church in a world where the world is actually divided into the Roman Catholic Church, one, Western Church is called. Okay? Then the Reformation group, the Protestant Church is called. Now there is another group. All the rest, the Protestant Church will include the Methodists, the Anglicans, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, it's all Protestant Church. But there is actually a third block of churches. And these are called the Orthodox Church. Now the Orthodox Church is made up of different types of Orthodox. There is the Greek Orthodox. There is the Syrian Orthodox. There is the Russian Orthodox. Right? Of which Putin is a solid member. Okay? I'm serious. So you look at it. And you know what they do? They actually practice do not act. And very, very proudly they say that our doctrine were established in the 4th century, shortly after the period of the apostles. Right? So we had some apostolic age, then after that we were fixed. And he said, you know, we haven't changed. One problem, the world has changed. In Italy, in Rome, they are about the only church there that says its mass in Latin today. Singapore, there's only one church that has the mass in Latin. And so if you want to be a member of the church, you better know how to read your Latin. This is what people, they don't change, they don't act. So Syrian Orthodox, old Syrian. Russian Orthodox, old Russian. Greek Orthodox, old Greek. They don't change. The rituals are exactly the same. The hymns are exactly the same. Nothing has moved. The people who are there, the camp, the old beards are still there. The scrolls are there. Nobody studies them. You just memorize them, you recite them. That's what it means when you are there. That's not what it means. Okay? But this is important. This is why reading Deuteronomy is, you don't understand your basics there. Will the Lord change? Yes. A number of changes will be. For example, they would used to say the Ark of the Lord. The book of Jeremiah says, no longer would use this phrase, the Ark of the Lord. Well, the changes will happen there. And you need to understand this. You still can't get it? And so it's important that we don't misunderstand this idea, do not add and do not subtract. The idea of it all is that truth cannot be changed in any way, by addition or by subtraction. And the question is, what then is the truth? You have to let the Lord explain what the truth is. So Deuteronomy is the first word, it is not the last word. Right? The church was a different entity. The book of Galatians would be important to read. The book of Colossians will be important to read. The book of Hebrews would be important to read. Because these were the things that saw some fundamental radical changes from this. Remember, this is to Israel. Right? This is to Israel as a nation. They're going to the land. We are not ancient Israel. We got no land to go to. That's all we have, 301. Right? So you have to be very, very careful that you don't misunderstand some of these things here. What do you mean, do not add and do not take from it? Okay, so now the challenge would be, and this is important, that we go on, that you may keep. Your eyes have seen what I command, what the Lord did at Baal Peor. Now, that's one of those big problems when we read the Old Testament. What on earth is Baal Peor? What does it mean? So, this is one of those challenges of the Old Testament. You've got to go back again and again and again. So, let's go back to Baal Peor. Okay, back to Numbers 25. Okay, let's look at Numbers 25. And you look at this idea of the Baal Peor. Now, in order to understand Numbers 25, you've got to bear in mind the earlier chapters. Okay? And the earlier from 22 to 24 are important. And there is a story of Balaam, the story of Balak, and the Moabites. Right? So the king of the Moabites is a little bit afraid of over there. Here the Israel spreading and it's going to go into the land. But see, the Lord would hold them. You cannot attack Moab. So actually Moab was safe. Ammon was safe, Moab was safe, ethnicity was safe. All the others were not. But Moab wasn't convinced and it was not going to take any chances. So King Balak asked Balaam, curse the people of Israel. Because I know this. If you, whoever you curse will be cursed. Whoever you bless will be blessed. So please curse them for me. And so Balaam tried one time, two times, three times. And he failed miserably. But there were many, many cards up his sleeve, which unfortunately, you know, was not understood by Israel then. So this is what happened. In 25, Israel remained in Ephesian role, and that is the problem. The people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. Right? Now, what happened with that? They invited the people to the sacrifices of the gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor. Now that is the Baal of Peor. Okay? So the Baal of Peor was literally, see, Baal was worshipped all over the place. In fact, only in the recent years, 2 years ago, the Baal worship area that was destroyed by ISIS. Would you believe it? They have been worshipping with Baal since the days of Balaam until 2 years ago, 2014. And the ISIS said, this is no good, we destroyed them all. I'm not wondering you want to say thank you, but you know, they did something about it. That Israel should have done a long time ago, but they to destroy the whole place there. Of course, they sold all those which can be sold first. And then the rest, they destroyed. But this Baal was actually a place of worship for all these years, thousands of years, and it was there. So as far as Israel was concerned, listen, this is Baal, and you should not be there. Okay? So they used every means. Now, the use of the women is all part of the temple worship. Right? So if the men especially would like to go there, because they're part of the worship, the women priestess were part of the prostitute situation. And that's how they were there. And because of this, they ended up worshipping Baal. And this is where it was. You see, when you look at the idea of Baal, if you were to just translate it, you would say it's called Baal. And Baal literally means my Lord. So they would, okay, Baal, worship the Lord. So the Lord says, you don't use the word Lord anymore. Use the word Father instead. See, this is what Zephaniah 3 is all about. They must have a holy language. A language that is stripped away from all these wrong connotations. So when they use the word Lord, they don't mean the Lord God, they mean the Lord Baal. See, so they use similar words. And so the whole idea of worship, the Lord said, this is not the way to call upon the Lord in worship, because this one is tainted. So because of addition, see, you mustn't think that they straight away gave up God. They didn't. They told the people, this is God. See, he just comes out in this form. Right? Why worship an invisible God? Have a visible God. This is just an expression of God. See, so they added. Right? So then the actual worship of God, they subtracted. No need to be on the Sabbath. No need to be at a tabernacle. You can be here too. You can be here nowhere. Here all the beautiful girls are. Well, the men say, okay, why not? And so that's how they added and they subtracted. That was danger. Right? So it's not that we can't change the word day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. I think this is something that some countries they worship on a Friday because Sunday is a working day. Is it alright? Of course. As long as we set aside time to worship of the Lord. Okay? But then you don't add and don't subtract. Wow, since I can enjoy worship using the video, I just worship the Lord. So if the person says, let's rise, I just stand. Right? Except that offering part cannot give. Just to bear. You know? But we don't want to add, we don't want to subtract to this, like that, because then it would be to our own detriment. That would be to our wrong. So this is the veil of pure that is there. Okay? So this is important for us to understand and to appreciate. Or any questions you want to raise up on this matter here. Okay? Now these lessons are going to be repeated again and again and again, unfortunately. Okay? So chapter 4 is just the beginning of it all. And we try to understand. Okay? Now, we need to understand that Deuteronomy was written nearer to the end of Moses' ministry. That's 40 years. Okay? 40 years of ministry. It's a very, very long haul to understand. Okay? The Lord God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. Okay? Now, let's look at Numbers 25 again, and we see what happened when all the people went to worship the Baal of Peor. Well, it was 3, we read, the anger of the Lord was roused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun. Wow. Now, we can't do that, okay? So we're going to hang all those people who very nice thing to hang people. You can't do that. But you see, in the early days, people don't understand the whole nature. One is the anger of the Lord. Two, the judgment of the Lord. Then the law had a punitive angle. We don't have that. So we have only the core. We have the essence of it all. We don't have the punitive power. Okay? No matter what it is. Right? So this is absolutely important for us to understand and appreciate. Okay? So if you turn to your Bible, and I ask you to turn to 2 Samuel 25, and you switch on your internet, and you play Pokemon there, we cannot hang you either. Okay? I mean, we cannot hang you anyway. How will Pastor know? Or you play some other game. And then, you know, every time you score something, then we will rough you off. People will look at you, what are you doing? But there's no punitive power, there is no, there's no legal power to hang anybody. But you see, this is the idea. It is so serious that people get hanged. This is capital punishment type for things here. Yeah, this is. In Norway, there is a big issue now of a man called Brennan. This was a person who took he killed a lot of people, 80 over youngsters, and then they sentenced him to jail. And now his case is going to be heard. Inhumane circumstances. Why would somebody tell him that it was inhumane to shoot 86 people? But now he's saying, you locked me up, you put handcuffs on me, you put me in isolation. You see, now the reason for them to put him in isolation, because in his manifesto, he said, if I go to jail, I am going to spread my manifesto to all the prisoners. So for that reason, they locked him up. Now he said it's a violation of his human rights. I wish all those 86 people he will kill also have a chance to say, what's my rights? Now they also went and say, they're trying to say that because he's in isolation, his mental health is a problem. Now that's exactly what he doesn't want them to think, because if his mental health is a problem, his manifesto would be question mark. These are the works of a madman. So he wants to prove himself safe, but he also wants to be given the chance to talk to other people. When he was charged, he said, I don't believe in this court. I reject the registration of this court. Now he's applying for the same court to reinstate him. This is the thing who are giving the person. And then they're going to try his case again to see what he's going to do. Yeah? In the old days, in good old Singapore too, you know, the Lord hanged people. Now, hanging is not a usual way of doing things here, but it was so serious that the Lord said directly to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders. Not hang the leaders. We have to be hit. Take the leaders of the people and hang the offenders. Now, if you're a leader, if you're an offender, you are also going to hang with this out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. Okay? Now, this is important. Okay. Every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. Wow. So the leaders were to execute this, the judgment. And it is not an easy thing to do. But so this is how serious it is. The idea of the statute and judgment. It's not just nice teachings, not just nice sayings. There was a penalty if they were to disregard the Lord's word and they ended up worshipping Baal of Peor. Okay? And so indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses. Now, remember, Moses had a Midianite wife too. So this one came along and, and brazenly paraded her in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle meeting. So this is really ending insult to injury. Right? So this person said, why are you all weeping? And here he came in with a girl, a Midianite girl. And so they were all weeping because people were being hanged and so on and so forth. And this was harsh judgment from the Lord. And there was this person who came in. Now, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, went after the men of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through, men of Israel and the woman through her body. Wow. Now that is some fierce judgment. Okay, now please remember, there are no spears anywhere in the church hall, in anybody who, we can't do this. But this is why we understand the statute of judgment. For Israel, historically, we don't understand it. Okay, theologically, we're going to find the meaning. But the application of it, we've got to be very, very careful. Otherwise, we are going to be in the spotlight in the streets time. Which was wrong in somebody's face. You see all the people hanging, what is that? And we don't want to do that anyway. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Can you imagine how widespread that was? You see the whole idea of the second judgment. See, if there were no laws to govern the people, it would be every man doing what was right in his own eyes. Which is exactly what happened later on, if you read the book of Judges, which is the fighting and situation. But that's what it was. So this was Deuteronomy, and this is important. 24,000 people died this night. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel. Not because he killed, but because of his zeal. So don't mistake the commendation. And the commendation was because he was zealous with my zeal. That is the thing here. So that I did not consume the children of Israel with my zeal. Okay? Behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and to his descendants after him, a covenant of an everlasting priesthood. This is found in Malachi chapter 2. So the ministry, the covenant of the priesthood was actually given and confirmed not through Aaron, not through Eleazar, but through Phinehas. Which I think is really, really outstanding over here. Okay, so this is important because so God will give them peace, and they would have a permanent priesthood if they were to keep up with the zeal. Of course, don't subtract, that's true. But if they broke this covenant, then it's over too. So today, we do not have that priesthood anymore. Okay? So, then the name of the culprit was mentioned, who was killed. He was called Zimri, the son of Salu, leader of the father's house among the Simeonites. Okay, and the name of the woman, the Midianite woman, was Cosbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of father's house in Midian. And so we have two heads and two children from leading families, and they just took the law of God, the statute and the judgment, and threw it aside. So it was broken. You shall have no other gods. Was broken. Right? You cannot worship. Well, all these things were just thrown away the side like that. And so this statute of judgment had to be taken very, very seriously, and it was known. So this was called the Baal of Peor. Right? So every time we think of the word Baal of Peor, then this incident, 2 Samuel 35, must come to mind, and we say, okay, we got to watch out. Right? So this is absolutely important for us. We don't want to end up with worshiping the Lord here on a Sunday and then go fire walking on a Wednesday somewhere. Now that would be serious. That would be what we think about. Okay? And I hope you want to send this whole idea here. So it's not so much as just the law of God, as just the word of God, but the whole idea of a covenant relationship between God and his people. So there was a covenant relationship that was established, but it was not understood in any way, unfortunately. Okay? Now this is to give you a bit of a heads up for reading the book of Jeremiah. If you read I Can tomorrow, I'm going to encourage you to read Jeremiah 2 chapters every day ahead of time. So by the time you come to camp, you would have read the entire book of Jeremiah. I think it would be nice. If you do really succeed to say, yeah, I read it, I really, really read it, every letter of it, every word of it, you deserve a pat on the back. And again, it would be just wonderful. But if you say, I understand everything that is there, the prize will be taken back. Because it's a hard book to read. Okay, well, you take a look at this thing here, but let's take a look. Let's look at the book of Jeremiah. You'll see this very, very clearly. So this is something that we need to look at very carefully and see what happens. Okay? In chapter 1, book of Jeremiah, just go on and you'll see this. In verse 16, we read, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness. Why? Because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. At the very first chapter, this is 2 Samuel 25, very similar, isn't it? Maybe it's not called Baal of Peor. This would be the work of their own hands. So in chapter 1, this thing was already broken. Remember, in the days of Moses, they would be hanged. But in the days of Jeremiah, nobody was hanged. And so they became to be more brazen. They just went on to do whatever they wanted to do. So they made the work of their own hands, which to me is just impossible to understand. I am going to worship this that I just made. Oh, to me, it's just bewildering, it's mind-boggling how people can worship the work of their own hands. You are now my God. How does that work? The real problem, you see, I will utter my judgments. Can you see this here? In chapter 4 and verse 1, statutes and judgments. These were the judgments. Can you see the Baal of Peor? The Baal of Peor is called a judgment. You see what I'm trying to say? It's not a commandment in the Ten Commandments category. It is a judgment that God made, recorded in 2 Samuel 25. So then in Deuteronomy chapter 4, remember the statute of judgment, and then Baal of Peor was mentioned. So what do? You go back into the study of what happened at Baal of Peor, and that is a judgment. You are to remember the judgment. So it's not a question of memorizing Bible text. It's not memorizing how many commandments. It is the idea of judgment. So this is an idea of what judgment is. Right? So I give to you the statutes and the judgments. Right? So this is the call of judgment. So the judgment is 2 Samuel 25, Baal of Peor category. Right? And then over here, remember the statute and judgment. Okay? So that you won't make the same mistake. And that's what's going to happen. By the time of Jeremiah, who cares? So obviously, there was very little regard for the statutes and the judgments of the Lord. Right? So chapter 1, we see this thing here. Now, chapter 2, now we talk about the land. Okay? Now, chapter 2, we read verse 5. They have gone far from me, followed idols, become idolaters. Now, you see? So one worship, right? Baal of Peor. Then they became idolaters. Now, there's a lot of difference between a single worship and idolaters. The idea of idolaters now would be that they are now practicing idolatry. So it wasn't just a single worship at Moab, Baal of Peor. It is now that they become idolaters. They are worshippers of idols of their own make, of their own making, or whatever. They have become, they've become practicing idolaters. That's the idea. You see the problem? You see the progression they're making from here one to the next part of it. Okay? And then of course they stop asking, where is the Lord? Now in verse 7, now this is important. When you enter, you defile my land. Now that is the problem. Okay? Now this is a really problem over here. You defile my land. Now how do we understand this idea here? You see, although God gave them the land that always belongs to God. You can stay here free of charge. I will give you all these things here, but the land is always God's land. This is what we want. They fail to understand it. You give me this land, I can do with it whatever I want to. No, you can't. You can't. You're not supposed to do that. Okay, this is one of those nightmares when you have a place that you rent out and you tell the people, please don't nail anything. And then you go back to it all after they end the tenancy, they are nailed all over the place. Last time, years ago, we used to rent a place in Canada next to our church because our church still expanded, no place to go, so we ended up renting the place there. We call it the Canada Wing. It was a rented place, belonged to a friend of the view. It was pretty amazing when we went to the house to look at it. The view was falling by. How many nails do you think you can count in your house nailed onto the wall? How many nails do you have in your house? Just nails, just the wall. How many nails do you have? We counted and we asked, can we take out the nails? The men came along and said, I didn't cut the nails. I counted in excess of 200 nails. There wasn't a corner anywhere, any wall that can I nail a nail, I just nailed. Then I found out what they were doing, they were runners. You know, numbers. So people called, yes, I'm not there. So every time somebody called, they put on there and then they hang the thing there. And the whole house was just full of nails. I've never seen a more well-nailed house than that one. You see, so But the man thinks, I rent, I pay rent, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You're not supposed to do that. You can't go and change things just like that. You know, and then you're just gonna pay rent. You can't. Rent is for the place. You have no right to go and change anyhow you like all the things. You just can't. Right? And this is important for us to understand and appreciate. Well, the Lord said, it's my land. And the people, and the Lord said, when you went into the land, you defiled my land. Wow. See, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the land. Then you may know how to observe that you can have this land. But when you went into the land, they defiled the land. Wow. You made my heritage an abomination. Now, here is Moses' teaching. But actually, how do you disseminate this teaching to everybody else? Please do not imagine he got a microphone system, there are 2 million people on there, and Moses is preaching, and 2 million people heard. Nope. What is not told, not recorded over here, is what was disseminated. So Jeremiah 2 gives us an idea of the people who were there. Remember Phinehas? Well, he represented the priestly family, like what we mentioned. So chapter 2, where are the priests? They were supposed to help to teach. Secondly, those who handled the law. They were supposed to know the laws of Moses. And then there were the rulers. Of course, in the early days, they didn't have prophets except Moses and Miriam. Maybe there were a few other people, Eldad and Medad, right? But there were a few others. But these were the people who would help Moses to teach the people the laws and the statutes and the judgments. Okay? So you mustn't think that Moses, every day he went on there and then he helped classes there. How is he going to, his voice will run out. Come, this is desert and there's no microphone system there. So you have to understand, these things were written down, obviously, a copy of which is found. And in the ancient days, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, DSS, many ancient scripts were found. And they were all copied by hand, so the priests had them, the leaders had them, the people had them, and they were supposed to help teach the statutes and the judgment of the Lord to all the people. So you must not think that Moses was the only one, lone voice, trying to reach 2 million people. There is no way he can do that. So how he would teach all the leaders, and then the leaders themselves will go out to the people. Okay, don't add, okay? Understand this. This is a judgment. Go back to Baal and Peor. Baal or Peor, go back to me. Remember this. Learn from me. Teach. So that the people will keep for themselves the sacredness of the covenant relationship with God. The worship of the Lord will be kept sacred. That's the idea of the statutes and the judgments which are there. Okay, so this is just to introduce you to the book of Deuteronomy. So we look at 2 Samuel, we look at the book of Jeremiah, and we begin to understand the view. Okay, so this is important. The whole idea is to keep away from idols. From a single worship of idol, after a while you just say, hey, it's not so bad, nothing went wrong. Well, let me explore it further. Hey, you go on further. And then you go on further. Before you know it, you are caught. You become an idolater without even realizing you have become one. So the idea was to, one, prevent. Two, punish those who are going to go astray here. So that they can keep in pristine condition the law of God, the covenant of God, the sacredness of the land, and everything that was holy and sacred to the people. That was the whole idea of the statutes and the judgments that were there. Okay? So this is something that would have happened, didn't it? Yeah, this is important. Right? So now we go into chapter 4, and then verse 6, the word of encouragement here. Therefore, be careful to observe This is your wisdom. This is your understanding in the sight of the people to adhere all the statutes. You see, in other words, they were supposed to bear witness. They were supposed to go and tell people, well, this is a law that we don't understand. Explain to us. Why you have this statute? Why you have the judgment? Why do you do this? And then they will explain. And as they bore witness, as they explain, people will look at it and say, wow, you know, that's true. So they will have to, somebody who is eloquent, why we do not worship idols. Right? Five reasons why they do not worship idols. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they say, wow, why do you worship God? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then they say, wow. This is a wise and understanding people. So the theology of Israel was meant to be so good that other people would admire them. So this was not just meant for Israel. It was meant for other people to study and say, wow, I admire your wisdom. I admire your understanding. I admire what you are saying over here. And this is a wonderful thing to take note of. Okay? So this is important for us to understand. So when God made Israel the way he made it, it was for the great sense of purpose. Right? If you read the book of Zephaniah chapter 3, you will conclude that. And then you begin to realize that God said, I meant you to be for fame and praise. For praise and fame. Twice it was really difficult. Same idea. See, so when God came to Israel, that land, you know, it was really a testimony of the miracle that God had created for them. From this was stragglers, come from Egypt, protected, provided for, goes into the land, the power of God was with them, and they emerged a great nation with all the laws intact. How is that possible? Only if God is there. But never leave the statutes and the judgment. Okay, and this is a great wish that every single believer is able to defend. You are able to give to every man who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So that when they listen to you, they say, wow, that is a wise and understanding people you are. Unfortunately, we have a lot of Christians. What do you believe? I believe what my church believes. What does the church believe? The church believes what I believe. What on earth is that word? Nothing. Well, God should know our statutes and judgments too. Right? I mean, we could understand. So this is what God is like. He wants us to be holy to him. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to worship him. And we do it happily. We don't drag ourselves to church. You know, we come in half an hour later after the service starts. How could we do that? And I used to tell people I only was late twice my whole life. The one time I was late was because I helped one old lady who took the wrong bus and didn't know how to go to her church. So I took her to her church in Geylang and came right back. And I was 45 minutes late. And the pastor asked me why. So I had to explain. When was the second time I was late? I cannot remember. Why? Because I honor the Lord. I love the Lord's house. I follow what the Lord Jesus said. Do you not know that I would be in my Father's house? Why are you in search for me? Where would I be? I'll be right here in my Father's house. Well, I want to do the same thing. I want to be in the Father's house. You bear testimony. So when people look at you and say, wow, this is truly a wise and understanding people. Not just in praise of the people, but in praise of the God of this people. And which later on Moses will explain and elaborate. You see, so the statutes and judgments were meant to be taught. Not only by Moses, but by the priests, by the prophets, by the rulers, by the princes, by all the people who are in capacity to teach. This is why we teach Sunday school to our kids. We teach them what we believe. We teach them what we believe in. We show them an example. Listen, children, they grow up to be good kids, not bored ones. Unfortunately, they get pretty bored after the, what is that? The only time they come alive is at breakfast and lunch, which is not good. You want to see how the kids come alive? After everything is over, they go into every room, just look around, open the door, and they're just so interested, so think. You might one day set up, have a quiz for them, you know. You want to search your mind, so have a treasure hunt, right? Okay, then treasure hunt, Bible verse. Well, you know, something that will interest them, but you know, this is the whole idea. So the statutes and judgments were really meant to be for many reasons. One, it honors God, certainly won't anger him. Okay, two, it would be, people will look at us and say, wow, you really know what you believe in. Yes, we do. Why do we believe what we do? This is why we believe what we do. And off we go. Right? So we become a wonderful testimony to everybody. The people who will hear all these statutes, they're not going to hear Moses. He's going to die soon. But they will hear the statutes by the people who live by them, by the people who can expound them, by the people who know them well enough to say, this is why we do what we do. And they are not afraid and they're not ashamed of what they are doing. I think that is an absolutely challenging thing to do. This is your wisdom. This is your understanding. Right? And then what you are, what you are, will redound to the glory of the nation. In this case here, the glory of the church. I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Let's take a look at a little text in the book of Ephesians, and you will see this. And Paul caught this understanding. I think this is important when he talks about what the Lord was going to do. Okay? And in chapter 1, for example, we talk about how the Lord blessed the people in Ephesians chapter 1. And then how the Lord gave, he prayed for them as well. And then he talked about the church, the fullness of him. And it's so absolutely important. Okay? So we talk about how the church became all these things here. And it is after, in chapter 3, he went on to talk about this here. How God gave to him that wisdom, that revelation. And then he was going to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, chapter 3, from the beginning of the ages, hidden in God, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. See, this is what it's all about. So the manifold wisdom of God in the statutes and the judgments will now be seen by all. That is a glorious, glorious concept, which is absolutely amazing. I like this text, verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. To be intent now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. So what is the church's role and function? We are to display the manifold wisdom of God. We are to tell people, you see, it all started in a small little place in Jerusalem. But look at what it is today, right? And it's going to be strong, it's going to be so powerful, even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we declare the manifold wisdom of God. Who would have believed that it could happen when Jesus Christ came? And then it grew. And then we see the manifold wisdom and the doctrines of God, the teachings in the scriptures are truly to be manifested. And this is where we bring honor and glory to God. So if you take a look at what Deuteronomy is teaching, and if you take a look at what Paul understood is in Ephesians 3, they're not far different. Okay, so if you want to understand the statute and the judgment of God, you will see the wisdom of God. You see the provision of God. You see the manifestation of mercies of God. You will see God's blessing of His people. And if only His people had the wisdom to understand all these things, they would live a life that is truly blessed by God. Well, that's why we study all these things here. Okay? But I hope that you will be challenged to understand this. Deuteronomy is not easy. Yes, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. But it can be understood. Right? If we understand it and we take a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New, apart from Deuteronomy, and we compare here and compare there, we look at it and say, wow, actually it's true. Right? So what we've done with 2 Samuel, we've done with, you look at Jeremiah, we've got to look at the visions, and we can see actually how beautiful it all really is. See, the Word of God, statutes and judgments, or in epistles or letters, it's the same. It's all to instruct us so that we listen, that we know how to observe, we know how to practice it, so that what we have from the Lord is something that will bring honor and glory to the world in more ways than one. Okay? So I hope you're here because you want to become wiser, you want to observe, you're going to receive the Lord's blessing. I hope you don't get hanged. There's nobody going to hang you. But and it's a terrible way to die. Slowly die is a terrible way. One of the worst ways to die must be by hanging. Okay, that is something that you can think about. Alright, any questions you want to raise up? Okay, so this is manifold wisdom. We can understand this. Not easy, but it is good to learn this, because if we don't learn this and learn it well, the greatest fear is that one of these days, Deuteronomy is going to be a silent book for you. If you read, you don't understand it. So this is imparting to you. You one day will be able to teach it. You can live it out. You can practice it. You can enjoy it. You can know the wisdom of it. It becomes a part of your life, and it becomes your wisdom, and God's glory will be upon you. Okay, I'm just hoping there will be some bright places, some, yes, but no lights were flashing tonight. Okay, this is the early days yet, only the first night. Okay, next week we won't have Bible study because the pastoral team will be going to India. If you want to join us, you could be there. We are studying 1 Peter. But if not, we will wait again when we will be back here 1 more week. Okay, then we will have to skip another week because it's Chinese New Year. So it's going to be one off. So hopefully you can get it. See, so much to digest, take another week. Okay, there, just come back here. Then another digest, put another week there to pray. But it's challenging. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to really know your word, to love it, to understand it, to appreciate it for all its worth. We pray that you would give to us that wisdom to understand and to treasure the gems of wisdom that we get from you. It's just how to value these words because they come from you, given to us. We ask you to bless us, because you keep us in your life. Keeping our hearts to the family can come up. Help us to be greatly challenged to read the word ahead of time. We ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Okay? All right, thank you for being here.